Turn with me in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. If you don't have a Bible, just follow along as we read it aloud to you. We're going to read in Luke chapter 4 from verse 4 unto verse 14. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and get started. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, say by the Spirit, into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended, read this phrase with me, all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Somebody say, for a season. Glory to God. I'm wanting you to get some of these phrases together and connect them, because God's got something good for you tonight. And Jesus returned, and say this phrase, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. We begin this scripture as Jesus is filled and full of the Holy Ghost. And I often read over and take for granted the fact that this scripture is before all of this happens. But it says that he was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was not drugged there. He was not thrown there. He was led there. Amen. That's something that we ought to get a hold of right now. Amen. He was not talked into showing up. He was led by the Spirit of God. We look and seek for blessings and for change in our lives. And when we don't want to do it the way God would lead us, we try to do the short-term version. Try to do it our way. Try to figure it out on our own. But Jesus did not receive preparation to combat the enemy by sitting in the comforts of what would have made him happy. He did not receive the power to overcome the enemy by walking around and being led into the temple, but he was led into the wilderness. And something occurred as he was led out there. He didn't go out with meager supply to keep himself fed. He didn't go out with all the things to prepare him for what was out there, but he fasted for 40 days and made preparation for what the enemy was going to do. Some of us might look at the wilderness we're walking in and think, well, now's the time I finally get to speak my mind. Now's the time I finally get to sit down and say, I finally get to take a break because of how tired I am. Now's the time where I get to sit in the ease of Zion and just let the Lord take care of everything that I'm dealing with. But I'm here to tell you tonight, tonight that there is something God is wanting to unlock out of you, and it can only happen when you're in the wilderness. I'm talking about a little bit of self-control. I'm talking about a little bit of self-sacrifice. What are we willing to give up when we're standing in the wilderness, so that when the enemy comes by to destroy us, that we have the preparation that we need to overcome him? If we were prepared like we should be, then when things happen, we wouldn't be so easily tossed to and fro. We wouldn't be so easily thrown over here in the midst of our emotions, but we would be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Let's go into a little bit of what Jesus was tempted in. In Matthew 3 and 4, he was tempted of the lust of his flesh. And Jesus, not saying anything that wasn't already written out of Deuteronomy 8 and 3, what did he say right there? That man shall not live by bread alone, but everything that is out of the word of God. He was secondly tempted by the pride of his life. But he didn't talk about something that wasn't already written. He read out of the scripture of Psalm 91, 11, and 12. He was tempted by the lust of his eyes to go ahead and take a look at everything that you can have if you'll just only but bow to me, and all of these things can be in your control. But he began to speak very sternly at that point and reminded him that the only thing that the enemy can serve is the Lord thy God. I'm here to remind some of us tonight, you might think the enemy has total dominion over everything, but there is at some point where he's got to bow. He might have a little bit of power to try to tempt you, but there's going to come a point when that season will be over. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you right now that I walk in the wilderness every day, but the comfort that I get doesn't come from when somebody tells me to do what I want to do to make myself feel good. My only comfort comes when I take that part of me that says to speak my mind, and I let the Lord have it and say, let me walk in a little bit of self-control. Let me walk with a little bit of dignity. And when the tempter comes to destroy me, I'll be ready, because that which would have been clouded before will come to my remembrance, and I'll be able to tell that devil, it is written that I won't live by my own strength, but I'll live by what God gives me. You might be looking at the wilderness, hearing the voice of the tempter, but the only way you're going to be ready and prepared to face this enemy, this very real enemy, is to go out with some dignity and to fast and to have some self-control. I'm talking about, if eating comfort food is what makes you feel good, it's time to push it away from you and let God have you when you're the most vulnerable. We don't give God our true self, because if we gave him our true self, there wouldn't be anything that would keep us from being able to praise him. If we gave him our true substance, there wouldn't be any building, any doctrine, any denomination that would keep us from being who we are. I was raised in one church one way, but when God got through with me, he made me to be something totally different, because he opened my eyes to help me understand that there was things in my life that had to change beyond the day that I called out on him to be Lord of my life. Even Jesus went through some struggles. Even Jesus faced some very real tempters. And I'm talking to your temptations right now, and I'm telling them that it is written that the devil will turn loose, that you will overcome, and you'll be able to withstand what he brings. If you're looking for a short-term blessing, well, you'll get it and not suffer much to get it. But it will not be what was meant for you. There's three things the devil's going to come and tempt you with. You write these down. The lust of your flesh. What looks good. What speaks to you. You can lust to anger. Sure can. You can lust to be unhappy. There are people that feel more fulfilled to be depressed than people that would be fulfilled to accept happiness. They live so long under a certain form of bondage that they have only come to accept that this is how that I have to be. There are things that look better than what you're dealing with. There's things that look better than what you're dealing with. But I'm here to tell you, the grass isn't greener on the other side. We ready to get in? You ready? I've been kind of gentle, but we're about to jump in. I hope you put your wingies on and your life jackets, because we're about to get deep right now. Are you ready? You can go to any church that you want to find satisfaction, but it's not in the building that you sit in that causes you to have the ability to overcome the devil. And you might be right and deserve all the justice in the world for what you're going through, but that doesn't mean you have the right to jump over who you are in God to be righteously smiting everybody that you think you have a right to tell off, to speak your opinion about, to talk about other people, because it's not going to prosper you anything at the end of the day. Somebody you're looking at, you might think's meant for you even though you're with somebody else. You better watch where your eyes go. It's not greener on the other side, because you can go and get with that person. You can get a divorce if you want to, but nothing's going to prosper if it's not meant in the will of God for you to have. The things that draw our eye are the things we must learn to have control over. Now, I used to be a rookie, and grace took care of me then, but I've grown up a little bit since then. I've learned from the things that I've done wrong. And it has molded me to know what is wrong and what is right. And when things come to tempt me the way that it tempted me then, I'm stronger now today because I've learned of what has truly made me strong. I didn't get strong when I hopped over the fence out of the wilderness and spoke my mind. I didn't get strong when I finally gave in to the urges to snort pills or do drugs. I didn't feel any better when I went and ran around and played rock music all over the place. I didn't find satisfaction when I was roaming the world looking for something, because I'm here to tell you that when you give in to temptation, you're just like the enemy that's within you, seeking for what you can take, seeking for what you can destroy, seeking for what you can devour. The world that we're in today is tempting us on every side. It's tempting the lust of your flesh, tempting the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. You might think a greater income will cause you to feel fulfilled. I make more money now than I did when I first started working, but it didn't make me feel any more special when I got the raise. Because you know what? The battles are just the same now as they were then. Nothing has changed about the battles I fight now than the ones that I fought then. So that which I've earned has not caused the battles to go away. The battles do not remove themselves out of your life. They do not dissipate. We must learn to understand when the battles are ahead of us, what it is within us that causes us to overcome. When I look into the eyes of people today, I don't always see victory looking back at me, because I see how that we feel like we've got to have this and we've got to have that to make us feel like we're somebody. I was down to absolutely nothing when God found me. I was lost and wretched and without a hope in the world. I didn't have a right to fulfillment, and all the best that I'd ever had was his filthy rags. But one day God revealed to me that he was ready to take everything that I had messed up, everything that I had screwed up, everything that I thought that I could get away with. And he took all of those things that I was, and as I repented unto him, he threw them away in the sea of forgetfulness, and he caused me to be a new creature. And now today, when I go back out to the wilderness, I'm not only able to tell the devil to get thee hence, but I'm able to survive, so that I can go on and be anointed with power. If you want to be a kind of person that walks around with blessings, you've got to learn how to handle the suffering of this life. If you want to get rich quick, you can get your money, but you'll still be unsatisfied. It's only when you survive in the wilderness that it makes you to be strong, and it causes you to have some backbone against the devil. So we're going to get right to it. What are the things we must do to combat temptation? We don't talk about this enough in the pulpit, so I'm taking the time tonight to talk to you about it now. When you are tempted in a category, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of your life, the only way to bring yourself under subjection is by the denial of pleasure to yourself. The active pursuit of self-denial of pleasures is fasting. Taking something that you feel like that you have to have and offering it to the Lord as something that you do not need. Taking that extra fourth meal. How many of you have the fourth meal? 11:30, your stomach starts rumbling. Oh, you know what time it is. Those cookies are screaming from the basement. Come and get me. Come and get me. That glass of milk starts talking to you, and you're like, I know better. But, oh, I just got to have that cookie. Or Snappy Turtles, or piece of pie, or donut holes. I mean, why do I always get on food? We've got a variety of things that we can have that speak to us in an hour when we know it's not good for us. You know it's not good for you to eat late at night. It goes right to the hips, Brother Matt. I don't know about you. Mine goes right in here. We know that it's not good for us, but yet we're willing to give in to something like that. But what about if God spoke to you about giving something up that you think you have to have in an order to have the power to withstand the enemy when he comes against you? The disciples were the greatest at executing the things the Word of God said. But they encountered demons that they could not cast out. Because when it came to having that kind of power, they weren't able to cast it. There were people that can be somewhat religious and look like they've got a whole lot good going on in their life. But when you need to have the real kind of mountain moving power, devil chasing power, the anointing that causes your family to turn around again, that kind of power doesn't come just by saying in the name of Jesus. That kind of power comes when you look at your life and you say, take everything that I am and make it God what you need. We don't want to live that way. We don't want to give up our time. We don't want to give up what is important. We have 24 hours in a day, and God gives us the grace to rest, but yet we still find time to work 40, 50 hours a week. We still find time to pay for a full cable subscription and watch television. We still find time to pay $140, $160 for a monthly plan so that you don't roll over on data on your cell phone. We still find time to make sure we get our weekly post into Facebook. We still have time to make sure I get that post put out on Instagram. We still have time to go out and go up to the cabin on the weekend and blow away all the time that we could have been resting when we were tired. We have all the time in the world to put together a spread of so much food that we don't even need to eat anyway. We have all the time in the world to call our neighbor and talk about somebody else. We have all the time in the world to skip church and not feel like it's important. We have all the time in the world to sit down and not amen the preacher. We have all the time in the world to look at everybody else and think you need to be doing something. But when God begins to speak to us about changing the things that are inside of us that need to be different, we don't have the time for that. I'm here to tell you, if you want to live that way, you can speak to the mountain and it's going to stand right there. But if you'll give up a few things, he said he'd make you a ruler over many. He'd give you dominion when you need strength in the wilderness. He'll equip you to do the things you need to do. The Lord spoke this phrase to me. We're looking for an answer. We're looking for an answer, but we're not willing to give up what it takes to hear. Because the answer, this is amazing, hold this. The answer, we already have it, but if we don't have enough willingness to hear when God is trying to speak, if we're too busy in the lust of our flesh, we're not going to hear from God. If we're too busy worrying about what people are going to think about us when we praise the Lord, we can't enjoy it. If we're worried about what we're wearing, if we're worried about religion, if we're worried about all these things that cause us to look at our pride instead of looking to God, then when He is speaking, sometimes we already have the answer. There's been things that I've changed here that changed this over here, even though what was over here had no relation to this over there. If I change these few things in me, then it makes me ready to receive these things over here. Jesus didn't walk out of the wilderness anointed until he put the devil off of him. Preacher, I need you to pray for me. My load is too heavy. Do you know the Lord? Yes, I do. Do you really know the Lord? Yes, I do. Then what are you doing acting like he's not able? Oh, if we knew in whom we served, and if we believe in who we say that we believe, then we wouldn't be worried about anything than other than doing the will of the Father. Because until you do the will of the Father, you'll not know his will for you. To not know his will is to lack understanding. To lack understanding is to lack direction. To lack direction is to be lost. If we do not know Jesus as our Savior, then our life goes through this constant unfulfilling feeling. I felt so empty before I had Christ. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I just thought, I'll just work any job. I'll just live anywhere. I'll just do whatever. But the Lord had more in store for me than just to live anywhere, just to do whatever. He had a perfect plan, but what had to be implanted in me was an anointing that could withstand the enemy, that would cause me to grow. The things that you do when no one else sees are the very things that God is looking for you to take a stand in. I wish that I could get here and say, well, if everybody come in and dance before the Lord, we'd be blessed and highly favored. But when you get back out there in your wilderness and you're trying to dance for the Lord, what good will it do you when you feel real pain? What good will it do you when you feel real sorrow? What good will it do just to go through the motions without a substance in you? It doesn't. That's why we have up-and-coming generation of kids that shout and dance but are in every form of sin. They hear the preacher, they shout amen, and still give in to adultery, fornication. Is there anybody in here that thinks they're good enough to withstand everything the devil brings? There's not one of us in here that is exempt from life. I don't want kids coming up under me to think it's okay to compromise. I don't want a church to grow up under me that thinks it's okay to shout on Sunday and sin on Monday. I don't want to be in a generation that can say, Lord, Lord, but not enter in. I don't want to be in the midst of a people that tries to mix sin with the Spirit. I don't want to mix bitter and sweet waters. I want to walk in a power that causes me to overcome every day. I want to walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to speak to the dead and tell them to be raised. I want to preach the will of God. I don't want to settle for the devil's level. I'm not giving in when he tells me to. He's raging. He's raging. If he could speak to Jesus, he can get on your level. He might have dominion over this whole world, but when he encounters something that has something that's greater than him, he don't have a hold on that anymore. If you know Jesus Christ, then when he comes to you and you say it is written, it begins to come alive and take a whole new meaning. You can say it is written, but without the anointing of the Spirit that only comes through Christ, you'll not know nor inherit the kingdom of heaven. Man, this is hard stuff tonight. This I actually wrote for this hour. Self-control and the denial of self to the things that tempt you, when mixed with the Word of God, will empower your anointing to send the enemy away from your present weakness. When the enemy leaves your flesh, then the Spirit flourishes. You will return unto power if you realize the power that causes you to be greater than him. Greater is he. Greater is he. Hallelujah. I need somebody to help me praise him right now. Greater is he. That if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, somebody say greater. Greater. Greater is he in me. Greater. When you realize just who you are in the wilderness, then it causes your anointing to meet the Word of God. And as the Word of God meets your anointing, then all the things the Bible says begins to come to life. Then you can shake off a serpent. Then the scorpions cannot touch you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They told David to wear an armor. He said, it's not been proven. When the world would tell you to put on a fancy suit and have a six-figure income to make you who you can be to defeat the giant, that money's not been proven. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not been proven. That's why he couldn't wear the armor, because what it took to build it didn't compare to what you were without it. Why do we have to wait till we're down to nothing before we really begin to come alive for God? Because the more that we have, the more that we have to bring awareness to our surroundings. The more that you carry the things you won't lay down, the less of a focus that you have to hear when the Lord would speak. Some of the greatest answers have come to me. Some of the greatest sermons have come to me, not when I gave in to temptation, but when I fell down to my face and just said, God, I can't do this on my own, and I need you to help me. I need your Spirit to guide me. I need your anointing to strengthen me. Oh, church, where is that prayer in this day and age? Lord, I need your strength. God, I need your power. Lord, I can't do this without you, but I know that the Jesus that's in me is greater than he that's after me. I know that this Jesus I know that died for me, as long as I believe, then I have power to tread upon the enemy. Jesus is not under the devil. He's at the right hand of God. And if you're at the right hand of God, then you've got power. And if he died for you, that means he is your advocate. That means you've got a seat at the right hand of God. What a wonderful promise to know that I sit at the right hand of God. I might not be Jesus, but I sure know he died for me. I sure know he loved me when I didn't deserve it. He died in a tomb that wasn't even his, just to fulfill the will of God. He went down to the heart of the earth and have dominion over the devil. It's important to know Christ above everything else, because one day you'll take your last breath. One day it's all going to be over. And let me ask you, friend, what good will your money do then? Oh, you can have the nicest car, wash it week after week, but one day you're going to get feeble and too tired to wash the rims. What good is that car going to do for you then? One day your looks are going to fail you. No more people's going to be looking at you like you're the hot one walking down the street. What are you going to do when your looks fail you? One day you're not going to have anybody to behold you as popular. You might even die at a funeral where everybody else you knew's already gone. What good does popularity do in this world we're in today? But friends, let me tell you about a Savior. Oh, who came as a man and suffered the burden of this world, the persecution of those that didn't even deserve to beat him over his back. Oh, to die a fateful death, that as he came out of the tomb and he was resurrected, he brought all my sins and made it atoned. All the things that I used to give in to temptations are now behind me. Paul said, I put behind me the former things. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. There's a Savior that loves you. You may not even know him yet, but he loves you. You might not be able to see him, but you can sure feel him. He's talking to every one of you that'll be willing to hear. He said, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Brother, show us the way. The Bible said if you would come to him in prayer and bring all the things that have tempted you that you gave into and confessed your sin. That doesn't mean write a line item list of everything you've ever done, but acknowledging the fact that you did it and you failed. Asking for forgiveness of your sins. believing that Jesus Christ came for you and bore the death of a cross that you could have life in it more abundantly. He said, if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, he said, the same that would do this thing would be saved. Friends, I'm here to tell you, you're only one prayer away from salvation. You're only one praise away from receiving Christ. All you've got to do is look up out of the wilderness and know that there's somebody that loves you greater than the one that would come after you to destroy you.